BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. Just over a year ago, we broadcast a conversation between two visually impaired women living on either side of the Palestine-Israeli border, which had just been plunged yet again into violent conflict. The conversation wasn't about the rights and wrongs of what was happening. It was about how two women, Delal, who is totally blind and was then living in the south of Gaza, and Heather, partially sighted and living in the north of Tel Aviv, and how they coped with the uncertainties and worse of life when, at any moment, your physical environment could become unrecognisable, and when services and coping mechanisms you've been able to rely on could just disappear, not to mention the danger that you were constantly in. It was a conversation which moved many of you, and many times over the past year, we've been asked, indeed, we've wondered ourselves, how they were coping, what's happening to them, and often unspoken but at the forefront of our minds, are they still safe? Well, we're delighted to say that in spite of all that's happened, they are both safe, and as this troubled year draws to a close, we wanted to catch up with them to continue their story. Just before we do that, here's a flavour of what they told us a year ago, starting with Delal.
Unfortunately, it seems like the more the years go, the more the war gets sophisticated. And this time has been much more difficult than the last time. Of course, the problem this time is not only the bombing, it's that also we don't have our basic needs with water. We haven't had electricity for around 2 weeks. The house behind mine got bombed, which meant that all my windows in the house have broken. I'm living with my brother and his wife. We both live in the same building. They live downstairs and I live upstairs.
And at the moment, what do you do when raids take place?
I just stay at home. I don't have anything else to do. There's nowhere else to go. There's no shelter. You can't go anywhere.
Right. So how are you coping for supplies such as food and water?
Well, I try to contact either people I know or the Palestinian Christian Society, because I work with them as well. And communication is very difficult. To try to contact somebody is not easy, because not all the networks are working well. So that's something else. So I try to contact them, and, you know, they try to help as much as they can.
Let me go to Heather. First of all, what about your situation? How are you coping? And indeed, are you free to go out if you need to?
My daughter lives with me, though she's been in the Army Reserve, so she is only home some of the time. So some of the time I'm by myself with my dogs. I have a guide dog and I have another dog. I am able to go out, though I really do keep very close to home, mostly just to take the dogs out when they need to go.
Do what dogs do.
Do what they have to do, and then we come right back. I don't want to be caught outside when there's a siren.
And have you been caught outside?
Yeah. I have, and it's very, very disorienting. I will say that I was very lucky when it happened that there was a boy on the street who called to me to come into his building. He said that he recognized me from the bus, that he had helped me on the bus before. And he asked me if I recognized him. And of course, I told him that I don't see, so I didn't recognize him. But I appreciated very much that he was so kind to take me in with the dogs and take care of me in this situation.
When you are out, I mean, how much warning do you get?
We get 90 seconds. And we also get these sirens that are broken up by neighborhood. So we can hear the sirens for our neighborhood, for the neighborhoods around us. So sometimes, even if the siren doesn't go off specifically for our neighborhood, we hear the Iron Dome intercept missiles go up over our neighborhood, and it reverberates. All the buildings around us shake.
Delal, do you get warnings?
No, we don't get any warnings. We just get one. I mean, you're just sitting suddenly, and then it just, the bombing happens. Sometimes when a plane goes up around, I say to myself, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So sometimes it's bombed or sometimes it's just going around. But basically, there's not really a warning. I haven't been out since it started. I can't really go out anywhere on the street because, first of all, nobody to go out with. And if you take somebody, you have to bear their responsibility. And it's dangerous because they could get injured or killed. I just stay at home.
I'm going to ask you both this. I mean, Heather, you've now been in Israel for over 30 years. Have you ever thought of leaving?
I had thoughts about it at different periods of time in my life, but I have not thought about it in the last, I'd say, 15 years or so.
You haven't thought this is just too stressful to take, these situations which seem to recur?
No, it's a part of living here, but there are some very good things about living here. And I still believe that somehow or other we will someday achieve peace.
And Dilal, what about you? I mean, would you ever leave? Could you ever leave?
No, I can't ever leave and I won't ever leave. I can't ever leave at the moment because the borders are not open. But I won't ever leave because this is my place. This is my country. These are my people. These are my friends. This is my house. I will never, ever think of leaving. Because as Heather said as well, there are good things, not only bad things. There are good things here.
Well, that was then. This is now, after a very troubled year. Dilal Eltaji, let me start with you in the present. So we left you then still in your house, though with explosions happening all around you. Would you mind telling us what happened next?
I lost my house last year, a few months after you called. Unfortunately, I lost my house. I lost everything. I went out of my house on the 5th of December. We had to be evacuated. I was, of course, not wanting to go out, but I had to because it became very dangerous. And the next time I went to my house, it was all rubble. So that was not easy, and it's still not easy for me because when you lose your house, it doesn't mean that you lose a house. It means that you lost everything. You lost your memories. You lost your independence. You lost your everything you can imagine that you used to live in, your memories, everything. So that hasn't been easy, and it's still not easy. I moved a lot. I went first to the PRCS where I work. They had an evacuation place. And then we had to leave the city and go to Rafah because it was very, very dangerous in Khan Yunis, so we had to go to Rafah. And then 4 months after, we had to leave Rafah. I lived in a tent for a month, which I can tell you wasn't easy at all. Not accessible. Going to the bathroom is not easy. Everything wasn't easy. After then, I had to leave the tent and go to the PRCS hospital. I'm currently living there in a room in a hospital.
Can you tell me a bit about that, the hospital? What is the arrangement? You work for the Red Crescent, don't you?
I work for the Red Crescent in the college. We have a college for special education and rehabilitation. So I work there as a lecturer and head of continuing education. So I was able to get a room in the hospital, small, very small room. We are three, me, my brother and his wife. The room has a bathroom, has water, which is good. For me, it's great. At least I can go independently.
So in a way, you are now safer. You have people who can help you, but you have absolutely lost your house and all, as you said, all
yes.
your memories.
Well, I want to just say something. Yes, I do have people who can help me, but it's not safer. There's nowhere in the Gaza Strip that is safe. I can't tell you that there's a place which is safe.
Can I just ask you, many people were being evacuated, told at that time that they must move to the south. What effect did that have on people like you who were already living in the south?
I remember if they first said that people from Gaza and the north would move to the south, I remember the first question that came to my head, when is our turn? And where will we go if we do? For me, it was very fearful because I didn't know, okay, now they're moving the north. And then they will finish the north, they will come here. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go?
Let me turn to Heather Stone. Heather, you live in Tel Aviv, as you said. You too have faced rockets, drones, bombs. What's life been like for you?
Yes, I'm listening to Dilal, and I know that it's been very, very difficult for her and for many, many people in Gaza. And my heart goes out to her and to her friends and family. It's been very difficult here in Israel and here in Tel Aviv. not in the same ways. We've had rocket strikes, missile strikes, drone strikes. I've been relatively lucky in the sense that the damage that has occurred in the center of the country has not been directly in my neighborhood, though there have been some close calls. There have been some rockets that have fallen in neighborhoods that are nearby, but not directly in my neighborhood.
And presumably all the things we said in the last broadcast about moving around as a visually impaired person with the ever-present risk of raids, you know, the need to find shelter, I'm assuming that's been as bad, if not worse, than before.
Yes, I mean, it continues to be true. You know, of course, we've had a change in the landscape with the cessation of hostilities, or hopefully what will end up being a true cessation of hostilities with Hezbollah from the north. And, you know, here in the center of the country, we've been getting rockets from both Gaza and from the north, from Lebanon, as well as from the Yemen. So we've been getting it from all directions. We've also been getting rockets from Iran, which has been quite an experience to have, you know, a couple of nights of big attacks with, you know, many, many, many rockets.
How much do you go out? Because you said last time you weren't going out much. I wondered how that had changed, if it had changed.
It has changed. I'm part of a bicycling group with tandem bicycles where visually impaired, blind and visually impaired riders ride in the back. And the group decided to re-engage. And I have to say that it has been really something that we continue to ride, even though there have been the threats of missiles. And we did do this with the permission of the Homefront Command. And the organizers of the group had to go through training in order to be able to make sure that in the event of missile attacks, that everyone would know what to do to protect everyone who's riding, particularly the visually impaired and blind riders.
Yeah. Dalal, how do you keep going under these circumstances? You know, do you have ways, strategies for coping mentally with what will seem to many listeners as, you know, intolerable, this constant pressure?
Well, the good thing is 2 months ago, we started the work online for the university where I teach. So I'm starting to work on teaching online. So we upload lectures, which is a challenge on itself. But I think I try to cope that way, to do something. So what I do is I basically go to the college. There are people who are working at the moment there. So I go and I talk to people, upload my lectures, check how things are. Sometimes if students can come, you know, we can meet some students. I also try to listen to things on YouTube, try to take my head out of what's happening. Of course, you can't really do that, but you try to turn your head away and to listen to something other than what's happening around you. So that's basically what I try to do in order to cope, because it's not easy at all.
No. Can I ask you, this may sound like a stupid question, but are you frightened? It must be almost impossible to be frightened all the time.
I must admit, I get frightened. Yes, I get frightened when the planes go around. I sometimes get frightened when a door slams. If somebody slams a door, you just think, what's happening? So, yes, I must admit, I am frightened.
What about you, Heather? Are you frightened?
Yes, I agree with Dalal that we're all suffering from a sense of PTSD. Little sounds can trigger the ambulances here. For a long time, they had changed their sound so as not to sound like the siren or a missile attack. And so they were distinct. And then at a certain point, they went back to the regular ambulance siren. And every time I would hear them, I would think that a missile siren was happening and it would set me off. People have been complaining that they need to change it back. so we have a variety of different ambulance siren sounds. And what Dalal said about listening to other things and taking her mind off of it, I do the same. I try to listen to podcasts and things that have nothing to do with the war in order to have a respite, to think of something else.
I asked you both last time we talked whether you ever thought of leaving, and you both said no. Heather said not lately. Dalal, you dismissed the idea altogether. Dalal, has that changed? after this last year?
It's changed and not changed. I mean, sometimes I just feel I really want to leave, you know? But then I don't want to leave. I mean, when I first knew that our house has gone, the first thing that came to my mind, I don't want to stay here. I want to leave. But then I think again, I don't want to leave. In the end of the day, my house is still, or it's lost, but I have friends here. So I don't want to leave. So I still say I don't want to leave, but sometimes, you know, you just feel like you can't manage it. You just want to leave. At least leave for a bit.
Heather, what about you?
No, I don't want to leave. This is home and, you know, this is where my kids are, my family, my friends. Mm-hmm. I do miss my family who are in the U.S., and I guess that's the reason why, you know, years ago I thought about leaving when my parents were still alive to go back and be with my sister and so forth. Yeah. But no, I don't think about going back.
You both said in answer to that question, there are good things about living where you live. Dalal, what are the good things?
The good things now is it's an interesting question. What are the good things? The good thing is you are in your country. You are with the people you know. Some of my friends have actually left. I mean, a lot of my friends actually have left to Egypt or to other places. So that's basically what it is, Ian.
Could you leave? You said some friends have left, so presumably there are ways...
They left before, yes. They left before the Rafah. They went into Rafah. So the border was still open. And I mean, now you can't leave.
As we approach 2025, can either of you find any room for optimism in this situation? I mean, you've talked about things that you like, but can you find any room for optimism in terms of some kind of stability?
I don't want to push you down, but I don't feel there's a lot of optimism. I try to be optimistic and I try to think that there's hope, but I don't know that it's going to come now. I don't know. I feel that there's still a long way to go. Since the war started, and we've always been optimistic, and we've always saying that it will finish, and things happen, and then nothing happens. So now you just say, whatever happens, happens, and you just don't know what the next minute holds.
Heather?
Well, I try to be more optimistic than Dalal, though I can appreciate her perspective. I really did not think that we would be this many months along and still not have a resolution. But knowing that we've reached some sort of arrangement with Hezbollah in Lebanon does give me a little bit of hope that perhaps we can reach an arrangement in Gaza and end this conflict.
I just wonder whether there's anything you'd like to say to each other?
In the end of the day, we have no problem with the Israeli people, but... We have problem with, you know, what's happening around us. And I just want to say that I wish that one day this war would finish and everybody wants to live in peace. Either me, Heather, everybody wants to live in peace. So that's, I don't know, that's what I want to say. I wish that we can all live in peace.
Ameen.
Well, I think that's a good two words, the same word uttered twice to end on. Dalal El-Taji, Heather Stone, thank you both very much for your patience with us, but we have wanted to stay in contact with you. And all we can say to you both is stay safe and that you...